Logan's going to give us some worship here, but I wanted to start off with just a little word of encouragement in this time right now. So, you know, whenever I'm going through a hard time or whenever something seems to kind of rock my world a little bit, one of my go-to verses is the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. And here's what Jesus said. You know, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he was talking about his time coming on the cross. But here's what he said to them. Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. So Jesus knew that the disciples were going to run, scattered, fearful, and scared because he was going to be nailed to that cross. Well, what they didn't know was he was going to be risen from the dead. The Father was going to raise him from the dead. Amen. But here's what Jesus said. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So even though there may be some joking going along, I know I posted kind of a funny video yesterday. I'm not doing that because I'm taking anything lightly. I'm doing that because Jesus said, be of good cheer.
Wow.
If we live in him, he has overcome anything that this world brings, and he has overcome anything that we ourselves are going to go through. So rely on him. Rely on your fellow believers and be of good cheer. Jesus, our Savior, has overcome anything that we will ever go through. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to pray us into the service here, and Logan's going to lead us into some worship, and then Paul Deani is going to bring the sermon for you. So, Jesus, I thank you so much. I thank you that 2,000 years ago, you spoke to us about things that we were going to go through, trials and tribulations, but you said, be of good cheer, because you have overcome all of that. And I thank you for that, Lord Jesus, and I pray that in this troubling time right now, that we as believers can bring your kingdom into the lives of those that don't know you or are fearful, apprehensive, anxious of what's taking place. And I pray your presence, Lord God, upon this nation, Lord, upon our city and upon those we come in contact. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Paul Deani is going to bring us a sermon, and I'm pretty stoked about this. I like it. He's finishing off the Address the Mess series, but he's added some things in it to fit what we're going through today. So, Paul, it's all you.
Cool. You can turn up your audio if I'm not speaking loud enough. I'm also, hey, this is what, Kitty, you want to, are you leaving? What do you want to see here? So long. I need like a, Chip, you stay here. I need a live audience. Otherwise, I don't know.
I'm back.
All right. Like he said, we're going to be finishing up the Address the Mess. And I really enjoyed this sermon series. It's been really fun to try to see what God has to say in using this analogy of the mess. And I have personally learned a lot about how Jesus views me. It's been a week for me, for sure. I think it was, I'm definitely a news junkie, so I've been listening to the news, and it's been hard to get through a single day without kind of feeling overwhelmed by the chaos. And I mean, it's not new. I get overwhelmed a lot, but it's been a hard week. And you know, the world's crazy. It's messy. It's in times like this, I mean, you have a global pandemic that's messy and chaotic, and even just the simple things of life can get a little messy. You know, you have just chores in your house, doing dishes and taking care of your, well, I'll tell you, eating spaghetti with a toddler at dinner time is like the definition of a mess. So it's just, that's what it's been like. It's thinking about the mess of life. And it couldn't help but think about a story of experience I had when we took some students to a summer mission trip, and it was down in Cincinnati. We had gone there quite a few times, and we volunteered to do these outreaches. A lot of the outreaches are simple, and maybe we'll go hang out with some kids at a VBS or an orphanage, or we'll go visit with people at a senior home, or some days we would go and volunteer to help fix houses and repair and clean up messes. And one of the times we took a group of kids that hadn't been on a trip like this before, and we were going to help this family who was in need to repair their home. And it was specifically messy. I remember we showed up and it seemed like, so we walk in, and I was trying to maintain a positive outlook and an attitude about it, but it was a little hard because we walked in and the family was really nice. They needed a lot of help. The city had gotten involved because when your home gets in disarray, they can actually put a warrant or basically say, if you don't clean up your house, then you can be condemned from the house. So we were there to help them clean it up. The house, they had about 30 cats in their backyard. The yard had kind of been made into like a cage of sorts. You almost couldn't walk through the yard. And we were there to just kind of help and lend a hand. But I couldn't help but think, how in the world are we going to be able to help these people? I mean, there's really not much we could do. But nevertheless, we just asked what we could do, and we got to work. And I was so proud of the kids that we took because they didn't even bat an eye. You know, they got right to work. They were supposed to be scraping paint off of the back of this garage. And me and a couple of guys were trying to pull some trash out of the yard. And I'm telling you, just to reemphasize, it smelled. It smelled really bad. And, you know, the kids are like looking at me kind of like, is this okay? And I'm like, we're good. We're doing it. You know, we're helping clean up. And I remember looking at some of the kids, they were up on a ladder, which the supplies we had were also kind of like minimal. So we're trying to make the use of like one paintbrush and like a ladder. And the ladder was like, I'm pretty sure the ladder was like sitting on a pile of poop. But they were up there, dude, and they were doing it. They were scraping the paint. And me and some guys were trying to pull this recliner out of the yard that I think had been there for probably like 5 years. It had like rotted into the ground. The grass had grown over it. And what was even stranger was like when we were going in to clean up the trash, the guy that lived there, he almost he didn't really want us to even take it. It was like he had grown attached to this mess. And I was trying to convince him in a way. I was like, you know, he had kids, and I'm like, this is kind of dangerous. Like, you probably don't want this in your yard. Like, it's sharp metal and springs sticking out. And he's like, yeah, I understand that. So, like, we pulled it out of the yard, put it on the curb. And honestly, by the end of the day, we really didn't accomplish very much. I mean, the house was still very messy. We barely got the shed painted. But you know what? The group that we partner with, they always remind us to focus more on the people. Because the truth is, you can only do so much in a day. And our goal is to love the people and help them understand that we're there to serve them. And, you know, I learned a lot in that experience, just because when I'm being honest about it, I think about it in terms of my life. And, you know, my life isn't much cleaner than these people's yard. I feel like I got 30 cats in my backyard, and there's probably a bunch of poop and a few old recliners rotting away. But you know what? Here's the cool thing about it. Jesus walks into my life, into my smelly backyard, and he just hangs out with me there. Mm-hmm. He loves me there, and he slowly and gently pulls the trash out of my yard. Because, you know, I'm not as graceful as Jesus, and I'm looking at this guy and I'm thinking, what are you doing? Like, you got to get this trash out of your life. This can't be here. And I want to almost be angry with him, and I want to be frustrated because I can't clean up your mess. But Jesus is different. Jesus is full of grace and love, and he is slow and gentle, and he's not intimidated by our mess. He's not afraid of our mess. And I know that can resonate with a lot of us. And I want to read one of my favorite scriptures. It's in Philippians 1. So if you want to turn there, I find myself using this scripture a lot when I'm just talking to people. So I think it fits really, really well with this message. And So it's in Philippians 1, and I'm going to read it here. We're starting in verse 3. It says this. This is Paul writing to the church of Philippi that he had just planted. He had just spent time there. So there's a bunch of new Christians, and he's actually writing from prison. So he had gone on to spread the news of the gospel around the Mediterranean area, and then he ends up in prison. So he's writing this letter to the church of Philippi from prison, and he wants to encourage the new church. And he's just writing, and he says here in verse 3, he says, I thank God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, and all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I often will just kind of say this scripture to people because it's a great reminder of God's commitment to us. He is committed to complete the work that he has begun in your life. So it's kind of, I like the way that Paul puts it here. He calls it a partnership. You know, we ask God to be a part of our life, and it's a partnership with him, and he is committed to it. And I know, I always say that Jesus doesn't make bad investments. He looks at you, and he doesn't see your sin. He sees the potential of who you are because he created you. And he is committed to the work that is begun in your life. It's a promise. And it's not based on our ability to... This is actually really strange because I can see the heart. Normally, I don't try to... No, this is cool. You know, I also use this analogy where, you know, we don't really have the credibility to make a commitment, a lifelong commitment of faithfulness. It's kind of like me trying to draw on my bank account. My bank account of credibility is kind of empty, but God is faithful, and he takes my tiny little ability to commit, and he commits himself, and he is faithful to complete the work. There's a point that I like to use to kind of allow. So let me. Sorry, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So I wanted to talk about healthy relationships with the people because I think one of the most important things is we often get so caught up in cleaning up the mess, but we forget that really Jesus just wants to have a relationship with us, and we are called to have healthy relationships with each other. And in the letter that Paul was writing to the Philippians, he talks about, he encourages them that they are to have healthy relationships with each other and to be a demonstration to the world of what healthy relationships can look like. And I know that this can be a hard topic because often it's the people that we spend the most time with and we know the most that we struggle to have good relationships with. First and foremost, it's your family. It's the people you live with. It's the people you work with. It's the people you go to church with. You know these people so well that you end up kind of, your relationships can struggle. And I think because I like to use the analogy of this, a relationship is kind of like a house. And in the house, you have a lot of chores. You have a lot of upkeep. You know, even just making dinner, you make a big mess. Or, just living in your house, there's laundry to do. You got to sweep. You got to mop. If you spill something on the floor, you don't just brush it under the rug, you clean it up. And especially when you have kids, it's like all you're doing is cleaning. But when you have a relationship with somebody, it's kind of the same. When you spend time together, often you're going to do things that create a mess in a relationship. And it's vitally important that you work at maintaining that relationship. And I kind of like to call it housekeeping. And we don't often spend the right amount of time housekeeping a relationship. It's easier to let a relationship, to try to ignore those messes, and we just kind of spray some anti-scent on it and just kind of move on. You know, we have a lot of different methods for trying to ignore the messes between us. But one thing that me and Katie do in our marriage is we try to get into a habit of spending a dedicated amount of time with each other where we are, quote unquote, addressing the mess, or we're just spending time creating a safe place where we can ask some hard questions and deal with maybe the conflicts that are between us. And, you know, it starts off with some light questions like, hey, how was your week? Or, you know, what are you looking forward to? Or even honestly, just getting on the same page with your schedule. Like, hey, what do you have planned this week? So you're trying to not only clean up the messes you made, but also avoid the messes that you could be making if you're not on the same page. And then you get into some harder questions, which is one that's probably the hardest, is how can I love you and serve you better? What am I doing that's creating issues between us? And I think what you're really doing there is you're saying that our relationship, it matters so much to me that I'm willing to change my behavior. I'm willing to change who I am to help grow and strengthen the relationship that we have with each other. And I think this is a lot like our relationship with Jesus. We need to prioritize God's opinion and how we may be hurting him in the things that we're doing. Because I know that if I ask that question to Katie and I say, hey, Katie, is there anything I'm doing that may be harmful or hurtful in our relationship? Well, I'm allowing her to tell me what my if onlys are. And, you know, we all have if onlys. It's kind of like, oh, hey, Chip, you're so great at this, this, and this. If only you didn't do this, you know. And if I were to just say that to him without him giving me the permission to do that, it would probably be a little rude, you know. But if Chip says, I'm giving you permission to tell me what I'm doing that is hurtful to you, then we're creating a safe place and a safe environment to kind of clean up the mess between us. And I think this is absolutely vital in a marriage and just friendships and relationships in general, especially your relationship with Jesus. Because if we didn't do this, what happens is there's going to be a mess. And at some point later, that mess is going to reveal itself at the worst time. And it's kind of like the phrase, opening a can of worms. It's like, you know, if somebody brings up a point and you're like, oh, wrong time. You know, we don't have time to deal with that. And then the worst thing is you open that mess and then you don't have time to clean it. And it ends up festering. And you try to do a quick cleanup. You brush it under the rug. And then later on, it's just even worse. So I think it's really important for us to understand that if you have relationships with people, relationships are messy and they require us to spend time maintaining them and creating a safe place and a safe time to deal with those conflicts. And that's how we're going to be able to demonstrate the love that Christ has for us by loving each other well. And obviously it starts with having a healthy relationship with Jesus. I think another good example would just be that, you know, if you ever, let's say you had a house that was perfect and you kept it perfectly clean all the time, or like, or maybe it's like the guest bedroom in your house that is the bed's always made and everything's always clean, but nobody ever stays there. It's never used. What's the point? You know, I mean, yeah, you have a clean room, it's beautiful, but if you're not using it, it's not really fulfilling its purpose. It's the same with relationships. I mean, in your life, the reality is living life, doing life together, having a relationship with each other is going to create mess between us. And we just need to understand that. Heck, I like to create a mess just for fun sometimes. I'm messed up. You know, it's bad. But I understand that when you create a mess, like, you got to clean it up. And Paul is encouraging the church in Philippi, these new believers, to demonstrate their love with each other. He even directly calls out two people by name. He says, you, and I can't even pronounce it because they're Greek names, but it's just, you know, you, Sarah, and you, John, you work out your conflicts because Christ has called you to live in harmony with one another, and you are both believers. You should recognize that your names are written in the book of life and that God has called you to have a healthy relationship with one another. And, you know, that's convicting because we all can relate to that. We have conflict with one another. Just living with people, I mean, oh, man, like, I used to tell some of my friends that were living together, some of my buddies, they were living in the house together, and I think they were great friends before they moved in. And there's this fear, right? There's this fear that, like, oh, man, like, are you guys willing to take the risk of moving in together and understanding that you may not be friends later or working together? It's like you're putting your friendship at risk. But if you understand that you need to work at it, they used to have a thing called house time where, like, once a week they sit down and they would just go through this and say, like, hey, like, how can I better serve the house? How can I better serve you? That's putting others first. You're saying, I'm willing to change myself because I value our relationship most. We need other people to point out our messes. You know, I want to be a better person, but me on my own strength can only do so much. And the things that I can do are pretty pitiful. But Katie can help me because she sees me all the time. Relationships means I'm giving you permission to see my mess and help me fix it. And I'm giving her that permission in a safe place and time where we can deal with it. Because usually when you address a mess, it takes a while to clean up, especially if you haven't done it in a while. So I want to encourage the church the same way that Paul encouraged the church in Philippi, which is, let's realize that we are called to love each other and demonstrate Christ's love to the world. And we do this by, first of all, being full of Jesus and his grace and demonstrating love the way he demonstrated it to us, because he's the best example of this. He walks into the mess of our life. He's not intimidated by our mess. He's willing to have a relationship with us no matter where we're at. And he gracefully and lovingly and patiently walks it out with us. That's how we're called to do it with one another. I want to read a couple more verses from Philippians in closing here. Philippians 7 through 11. He says, it is right for me to feel this way about you because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and be so pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So again, you can just see that Paul is encouraging them to have flourishing relationships. And he goes on throughout the book to illustrate that. He even talks about how there's nothing to be gained from just simply having a cleaned up life. He compares his life and all his pursuit of having a righteous life is, as he puts it, or we could put it in this sermon, cat dung. Because in reality, your attempt to clean up your life is nothing in regards to having a relationship with Jesus. And I think David in his psalm, I really love this psalm in Psalm 139, because it illustrates for me what it looks like to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Because David is recognizing that God knows him better than anyone could. You know, I give Katie permission to love me and help me see my flaws, but the reality is she can't even see my flaws the way God can. You know, we spend every day together, but she still can't see my heart and my soul. Only Jesus can do that. David talks about how the fact that God knows every hair on his head, he formed him in his mother's womb, God knew David even before he was born. Only God can know you that well. And he says, since you know me this well, search my heart, try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there's anything in me that grieves you, and then lead me in the way of everlasting. It's the same question that we should be asking each other, is what am I doing? What is there something in my life that's hurting you that I could do better? That's what we should be asking Jesus, because he knows everything about us. And he is so graceful and so gentle to help us. He even says, blessed are you when you're not offended by me. You know, we shouldn't be offended by Jesus. It hurts sometimes to know what our weaknesses are, but he's the lovingest, most graceful friend that we could ever have. And I want to close up with that, because I think this whole series is about helping us love one another and serve one another and be examples of Christ's love for us through our relationships with one another. I just want to encourage you guys in that. And thanks for tuning in. I mean, this is kind of a weird time because we're in an anti-socialization.
Social distancing. Keep your distance.
And I'm encouraging you all to do the exact opposite. But it doesn't have to be in person. It's more than that. It's being willing to be exposed with one another and giving each other permissions to help us be more Christ-like, and ultimately giving Jesus permission to correct your life about the things that only he can do. Thanks for all that. Should we close up, or should I, what do you want to do? Should we take some questions? Do we have questions?
We'll pray.
Buzz in your questions.
Yeah. Hey, something that I forgot to say earlier was we are doing water baptisms on Easter Sunday. I would say sign up in your bulletin, but you can sign up online.
Are we baptizing in bleach?
Also, you know what? If you don't have our app, you can search for our app, Vineyard Community Church, because yesterday we put out a notification. So that's just another way of finding out what's happening here at the church in case of the building being shut down or anything that we're doing that we want you to know about. So, because we don't even know what next Sunday's going to look like. If we have to be online again, like we are here, we're going to amp it up a little bit. We'll have some live worship with the whole team. And we'll do our best. What we can do is we can thank God that we still have internet access. So we still have access to each other. So,
yeah. Yeah, I'll just close in some prayer, and then, we can. You want to sing another song?
Yeah, we're going to put Logan on the spot. He's going to close it out.
Grab it. Well, let's just pray. I mean, let's pray together, because, I apologize if I got a little sidetracked there during the message, but I really feel like there's something for us today in this. God is encouraging us, re-encouraging us to be examples of his love by the way we love one another. It's not about not having messes. It's about giving each other the grace and patience to work through our messes and really just be shining lights. So, Lord, I just thank you. I'm so glad that it's not about my ability to clean up my mess. I'm so glad that you aren't afraid of my mess, and that you're going to come into my life and love me where I'm at. And I hope and pray that I can show that love to the people around me the way that you have shown it to me, that I can love my wife, I can love my family, I can love my friends, I can love my church family, my coworkers, and give them the grace that you have given to me. And yes, Lord, so let's thank you for that, Jesus. I pray that you help us be encouragement to everyone during this time. And even though it's a anti-socializing time, that we can still be examples of what it means to be Christ followers and lovers. So thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hey, while Paul was praying, I just had a word that there might be somebody watching who has twisted their right ankle. So I don't know if that pertains to anybody here. If it is, let us know. But I just want to pray for that. I believe that God wants to heal that right ankle right now. And I believe that he wants you to know that he cares for you more than anything, because how would I know that you have a bad right ankle? So, Father, I thank you for that, and I pray healing in that right ankle. And I thank you for the expectancy of hearing from somebody for that, Lord. So we just give you the praise in that, God. Amen. Okay.
I want to see someone get healed over a live Facebook video.
Yeah, let us know if that was you. That would be so cool. So.